want a s'more? S'more what?
No, no, you want a s'more.
I haven't had anything yet, so how can I have some more of nothing?
Shut up!
You're killing me, Smalls.
Welcome to E-Society Podcast.
Yo, what's up, everybody? ESP Summer Flicks continues. Tonight, I am coming at you with the 1993 coming-of-age film, or sport family film is what it says here on Google. What about, IMDb has it down as comedy, drama, family. But okay, yeah, cool. There was family, there was drama, and comedy and coming of age, and this is The Sandlot.
I want you to make some friends this summer.
They were nine great kids having one great summer. They'll become friends.
Just stand there and stick your glove out in the air. I'll take care of it.
They'll become a team.
Oh, yeah, all right.
And one of them,
you're the best,
will become a legend. The Sandlot, rated PG.
When Scotty Smalls moves to a new neighborhood, he manages to make friends with a group of kids who play baseball at the Sandlot. Together, they go on a series of funny and touching adventures. The boys run into trouble with Smalls when Smalls borrows a ball from his stepdad that... Wait, where am I? The boys run into trouble when Smalls borrows a ball from his stepdad that gets hit over a fence. Okay. I should put my glasses on, everyone. For you younger listeners, take care of your eyes. When you get older, things start to get blurry. Anyway, speaking of that, I need to go get my prescription changed. I had bifocals, but they were just... It kind of bugged me. I put them on, and I guess my eyes sight must have changed. Anyway, that's another topic for another story for another time. But anyway, IMDb. In the summer of 1962, a new kid in town is taken under the wing of a young baseball prodigy and his rowdy team, resulting in many adventures. This was directed by David Mickey Evans, also written by him and Robert Gunter. And this stars Tom Gurry, I think that's his name. He plays Scotty Smalls. A Mike Vitar plays Benjamin Franklin Rodriguez. Patrick Rana as Hamilton. Ham Porter, a Chauncey Lepardi as Michael Squints, Paula Doris. A Marty York as Alan Yaya McLean. Brandon Quinton Adams as Kenny DeNunes. Grant Gelt as Brandon Gover Weeks. Where am I? Oh, Shane Obezensky as Tommy. Repeat Timmons. I don't remember them calling him Repeat, but okay. Victor D'Amata as Timmy Timmons. Dennis Leary as Bill. Karen Allen as Mom. That was Smalls' mom. The great James Earl Jones as Mr. Myrtle. Marley Shelton as Wendy Peppercorn. And Art LaFleur as the Babe. Babe Ruth. But anyway. This takes place in the summer, of course. That's the only reason I'm covering it. But this is probably one of my favorite sports films. I did play baseball when I was growing up. I was on the team. I wasn't very good, but hey, I still got out there and played. And I always had a good time with just a bunch of my friends. I took the game seriously, but... My baseball career was short-lived. I think I played two seasons, and then that was it. My soccer career was a little bit longer. I played that for a few years. And then skateboarding came. Well, skateboarding was in my life, but I think it is when it took over my life. That's when I kind of just, well, I would skate to practice and all that and everything. But after that, I just kind of veered away from the sports and just started skateboarding. But yeah, this film, what did I say, in the late spring, I thought this was in the summer. It was in the summer because I remember they rolled into 4th of July. But here it says, in the late spring in 1962, fifth grader Scott Small moves to the San Fernando Valley with his widowed mother and her new husband, Bill, who is a baseball enthusiast. As the school lets out and summer begins, there we go, his mother encourages him to make friends and tries to join the group of boys who play baseball daily at the neighborhood sandlot. Yeah, that was pretty much Scotty Smalls. He shows up. He's new in town. He was a smart kid in school because he had those little science experiments and everything. But his mom kind of just wanted him to get out and go play, like all parents do. I mean, I wanted my kids. I want my grandkids. You can't keep them from going outside, even when it's raining and snowing. I think that's when they really want to go outside. But anyway, she wants her son to go out and just live life and be a kid, not just be cooped up in his room. I know, like today, a lot of kids are just video games and their cell phones and all that. But I mean, to each his own. I mean, my little grandsons, my kids were growing up, there was no cell phones like today. There was no like iPhones and all that. There was none of that. Cell phones were there. We didn't get my daughter one until she was older, when she was playing softball all the time. But it wasn't a smartphone. It was just, you could only make calls or text or whatever, I think. I can't remember. But back in these good old days, there was none of that. No internet, no anything. So she just wanted him to go out and play and have a good time. So he finally went, all right. Well, he was kind of, okay, let me play baseball, because his mom was always like, you know what, her new husband, can you go out and play catch with him or something? So he went out there one day with him and was throwing the ball around, but he couldn't throw a ball. I mean, if you've seen the movie, you already know. His stepdad threw him the ball, but he missed it. But then when he was going to throw it, he just kind of rolled it back to him, and he's like, okay. But he was like, all right, next time catch it. And he just threw the ball, and bam, hit him in the face or in the eye. I did that with my older son, Mark. I remember we were outside playing catch, and I threw it, and bam, hit him in the eye. Didn't give him a black eye, but I didn't throw it hard. It's not like I meant to. He just missed the ball, and boom, hit him in the eye. So he's got this little shiner, and his mom is still like, you know what, you should still go out and try to play. So he ends up finding the sand lot where he finds all these kids playing baseball. The whole gang is there. Well, it's not his gang yet, but they're all playing ball. And it wasn't like they were playing. It was more like just practice for Benny. He just was doing warm-ups and everything, just practicing. I mean, because even them, who was it? What's his name? There's a guy that was narrating it. I believe that was the director. I could be wrong. I'm not really sure. I'm trying to figure out who was narrating this. I guess I should have did a little more research, but you know me, I do half-ass research in this. Because the guy that played older Smalls was not the guy that was narrating. Let me see. What was the oldest? The older guy that played Smalls. He was, the director. Okay, I was right. David Mickey Evans. He was the one that narrated the film. Arliss Howard played grown-up Scotty when he was older at the end of the film. Okay, because I remember the guy that was the grown-up Scotty. He was in some other films. He was also in, I think he was Cowboy in, Full Metal Jacket. I think that was him. Because I remember he was in one of those. Yeah, he was Cowboy in Full Metal Jacket. He was in another movie where he was, I think he was a cop and he was undercover in a high school. I don't know. It was something lame like that. He didn't even look like a high school student. But anyway. So, they're doing their thing. The narrator is going, telling them everyone, these guys are playing ball, but they're not actually playing the game. It's just like they're just constantly doing drills and practicing the whole time. So they kind of see Smalls hanging out. Benny ropes one out there, and they're like, hey, can you get the ball? So he kind of gets it, and then he cannot throw. I don't know. I assume is throwing a natural thing you do? I mean you throw things. I mean, my grandkids, I mean, they throw things at each other. I mean, boys will be boys. I threw shit at my brother and he threw stuff at me and everything, but I guess everyone's different. I mean, this isn't a knock on the character or anyone who just can't throw anything, but it made me laugh the first time I saw this. I actually saw this. I didn't see it in the theater. It was back in the good old VHS rental days. I went into our local video store. I think it was called Vidiots. It was Vidiots was the name of the place, but when you looked at it, it looked like Vidiots. That's what we always called it. So anyways, I remember going in there looking at the movies, and I went Sandlot, and I read the back. Oh, this sounds cool. So I got it. And then after that first rental, I was like, oh man, I just couldn't believe how awesome this movie was. So anyway, so he gets the ball and he tries to throw it, but it like barely goes a couple feet, and everybody just falls on the ground laughing at him. And then Scotty Smalls just kind of, he doesn't really cry, but he kind of just runs off, and and they're all laughing. But then Benny takes him under his wing, because he goes to his house one day and goes, hey man, do you want to come play ball with us? And he's like, all right. So he goes, Mom, I'm going out to play. So she's all happy, and he runs and he goes out there. Or when he tried to, when they hit the ball, he actually tried to catch it, but it like tore through his glove. And he had like a plastic little kid's glove. So it just shredded that thing. So when he was sitting there, and then when Benny asked him, you want to come play? He's like, my glove is no good. And he goes, don't worry about it. You can use my old one. So he gives him the glove, and then they go rushing out there to play. And then they put him way out there in the outfield. And when they get there, the kids are like, the other guys are like, why is he here? Why? Basically is what they're all saying. And they go, and they can't even, he can't hit or throw. And then, or catch or throw. And they're like, well, he goes like, come on, man. He goes, he makes the ninth guy. So now we have a full team. And they're like, okay, whatever. So he puts him way out there, and then he hits the ball to him, and then he misses again. And then the guy's like, man, why'd you do that? And they goes, it's all right. So Smalls gets the ball and he's going to throw it back to him, but he like kind of stops, and then he runs the ball all the way back in and basically gives it to the pitcher, which is Kenny Noonan, the Noonan's. He just looks at the ball, then looks at him, and everyone's like, all right. And then Benny kind of runs out there and says, look, man, he goes, stop thinking about it. He goes, just put your glove up and I'll do all the work. So I was like, all right. So Benny ropes another one out there into the outfield. I think he was playing center field. He ropes one way out there. Smalls just holds his hand, his glove up, and he catches it. And then he's all excited. He pulls it out and then just throws the ball in. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, cool. And then it just turns into regular just practice of them. And Smalls just got that fear out of his head. And now he's a part of the gang. I love this part. Benny, I assume he lives maybe in the same little neighborhood as Smalls. Well, it seems like they all lived in the same area, but I think Benny might have lived closer to Smalls. He's walking back to his house, and then he's like, oh, here's your glove. And he's like, no, man, you keep it. And he goes, oh, wait a minute. And Benny comes running back because Smalls had this hat, but it was some crazy hat with a big-ass bill, long bill, longer than the regular baseball hat. So he's like, hey, man, you got a fireplace? And he goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, throw that hat in it, and digs in his back pocket. Here, you can have my old hat. So he's like, oh, cool. Got a cool hat and a real baseball glove. So from the rest of the time is just them having shenanigans, playing ball and being kids. But then one day when the ball gets roped way out there, Smalls runs to go get it. And Benny hits it. No. Was it Benny? No, it was Ham. He hits it over the fence. And then everyone's they're all mad. And they're hitting him as he's running the bases. And Smalls is like, don't worry, I'll go get it. So he kind of runs back there. And then they all look at him and go, they go running after him. And they're like, what? And he goes, you can't go over there. And then they, what? Why? What's over there? And they all go, the beast. And he goes, what's the beast? Well, he kind of looks over there and he tries to get the ball that's on the other side of the fence. And then you just see this big, giant paw just grab the ball. And he goes, there's something over there. And they all tell him. And then they're like, well, what is it? And they go, the beast. And he's like, what's that? And then they all go, camp out. So the next scene is there's this nice big treehouse that they built in the sandlot, and they're all spending the night in there. And this is when Squints tells them the story of who the beast is. It's like one of those just little neighborhood tales of you don't know the real truth, but as the story gets told over and over and over again, it just gets embellished more and more. Like the the dog that was some old, it was, in the story, it was some junkyard dog, and it just kept getting eaten, or it was eating all these robbers that were trying to rob the place, and the dog just getting hit bigger and bigger and bigger. And the police tried to get the dog, and they did get the dog, but then they had him locked up forever and ever, and however that part went on. But so they told him that story, and Smalls is like, no, I don't believe any of this. And they're like, oh, shit. And they're like, go over there and look out that window on the other side of the treehouse. So he kind of walks over there. He looks down there, and then the beast comes running up and tries to get him. It's just like a first-person cam. She runs up and he goes, there's something down there. And then, and they're kind of just telling him, he's like, yeah, things that go over that fence, you never see him again. So that now we know the story of the beast and everything. So the rest of the movie is them just playing ball. There's an awesome scene where they do play a rival baseball team. And this part is hilarious. It's just them kind of going back and forth. Ham and whoever the main kid was that was on that baseball team.
You eat dog crap for breakfast, geek. You mix your weenies with your mama's toe jam.
Yeah!
You bob for apples in the toilet, and you like it. You play ball like a girl. What did you say?
You heard me.
Tomorrow. Noon at our field. Get the buffalo butt breath. Count on it, pee drinking crap face.
Yeah! Yeah!
Let's go!
And they kind of go back and forth, and they're yelling at each other. So, and it's like they're just clowning each other. And goes, what'd you say, you pee drinking crap face? And they're just clowning each other. And you eat your mother's toe jams for breakfast and shit like that. And then to him comes in, you play ball like a girl. And that's like the biggest no-no. And that guy's like, what? And the hand goes, you heard me. And he goes, what? And he goes, tomorrow, our field. And they challenge him to a ball game. And they're like, all right. So they show up to a real, because Ham and them were like, come on, let's play it right now, right now. They're like, no, we play on a real ball field. So then that's when they started arguing, talking shit to each other. So they end up, next day, they end up playing the game. And the gang just smokes that baseball team. It's an awesome little quick little scenes throughout that whole scene. And Ham is the best one. He's the catcher, and he's just giving the guy the batter shit, just talking. And he goes, hey man, is that your sister out in left field? And I got some naked pictures of her, or not, I think it was of his mom. You gotta get some pictures of your mom, you want to buy them and shit like that. And they just, like they said, they just smoked that team. So they celebrated by going to a carnival. I remember the first time I saw this, I rewinded this part over and over, and it just made me fucking laugh hella hard. I love this movie. It still makes me laugh every time I watch it. They go to a carnival, and they're all, yeah, that's cool. And they all got tickets, and the night was all on Benny. He was buying all the ride tickets. So they're about to get on one of the rides, and then
oh, crap! I almost forgot!
What?
What? Chaw! I was saving it for a good time!
What is it?
Big Chief! The best!
She's small. I suppose you don't even know who the babe is either! It's plugged! What? Chewing tobacco?
Tobacco, man.
What do you do with it? You're killing me, Smalls. Chew it, of course.
You?
Yes.
Yeah, sure, man. All the pros do.
Yeah, yeah. Gives you tons of energy, huh?
Let's dip. Let's dip.
Not Squints. Which guy was it? I think it was. Was it this guy? The one nerdy guy with glasses. I think it was Grover. I think it was him. Anyway, he's like, "Oh crap! I nearly forgot." And they're like, "What?" And he goes, he digs in his pocket, and he goes, "Chaw." And they're like, "What?" And he goes, "Big Chief, the best." And Smalls is like, what is it? And they go like, plug, tobacco. And he goes, what do you do with it? And Ham's like, you're killing me, Smalls. And they're like, you chew it, of course. Let me rewind it. The part with killing me, Smalls, everybody says it. I still say it today. But it was a clip I played at the very beginning when they're having that camp out, and Smalls shows up, and Ham is making s'mores, and he goes, hey man, do you want a s'more? And he's like, he goes, what? And he goes, no, a s'more. And he goes, how can I have s'more of nothing? Or no, something to that nature. If you guys know the scene I'm talking about. And he goes, how can I have s'more if I haven't had anything? Or whatever he says. And Ham just kind of, you're killing me, Smalls. And then just shows him how to make a s'more. But when he said that part was funny, but when he said it again, right before they're about to chew some of that tobacco, because he went, hey, what do you do with it? And he goes, you're killing me, Smalls. And he goes, you chew it, of course. And then they all just start taking bites of it. I mean, I've chewed tobacco like Skull or Copenhagen or the Leaf, the Red Man and stuff like that, or even the Skull Bandits. My friend said those are for, I won't use the word, but he said those are for sissies that chew or that do the Skull Bandits. I'm not a chewer. I've tried it. It's not for me. But I didn't mind the Skull Bandits because they were in a little pouch and you didn't get the tobacco all stuck between your teeth and everything. Those of you that chew, if you chew, cool, right on. But this is when I was much, much younger. The first time I ever tried it was my uncle took us. We were out in the res in Arizona at my grandma's house, and we were herding sheep. And we were sitting up on this big rock, and he had some. He goes, "Hey, you want to try it?" And me and my brother, I might have been like 8 or 9 at the time. And I said, "Well, what do you do?" And he goes, "You just kind of dip it." And he didn't say stick it between your gum, your lip and your gum. I just like put it in my mouth. And I was on my tongue, and I didn't like the way it tasted. And I just spit it out. And then I hit the can out of his hand, and it went spilled all over the place. And I'm sure he was mad, but he didn't like yell at me or anything. But that was the first time I tried. And then I tried it much, much later. One of my buddies at school was always chewing, and I tried it. I tried the Skull Bandits. I didn't mind that one. Red Man, I remember my dad had some, and I tried a little bit. I just remember it being hot. But the last time that I tried it, I was at work when I was working here at the airport in Reno. Shout out to my buddy Pete. When I used to work on the weekends, we had Pete, awesome guy. He always comes up with crazy kind of things. He goes, "It's Red Man Saturday," and I was like, "Well, what's that?" So what he did, he's got that pouch. I'll get back to the movie in a second. The pouch of Red Man, it's all leaf, like leaf cut or whatever the hell you call it. And he gets half of a lemon and squeezed it into the lemon juice in there. Then he kind of let it marinate for a couple hours. And then he was like, "All right, here, everyone try it." So we were all in the bag room. And I just took a little bit, stuck it between my lip and my gum. And I guess you're not really chewing it. You're just like sucking all the little flavor out of it. Horrible, horrible. The lemon juice did give it a little zing. But I was all right. And I was just spitting in a cup, and we were kind of hanging out. And then I was starting to feel dizzy. So I just spit that thing out. I was walking back to the bag room, and it felt like I was drunk. I was like, "Whoa!" I was just like, "Oh my god!" I didn't realize that was the first time that ever happened. Like I've tried it before, and nothing. But this just made me dizzy. Never tried it again after that. But anyway, back to the movie. They all. The plug is different. I didn't know what it was. One of my friends had to explain it to me. He had it when he was younger. His uncle would just like have a pocket knife and cut a piece off, and then you just start chewing on it. But these guys are like just biting into it, and they're like, "Yeah, let's ride!" And then they get on one of those little I don't know what kind of ride it is, but it just basically goes in a circle and kind of goes up and down. So they're all riding and having a good time. Yeah, just going off. Then all of a sudden, the juice, they must have swallowed some. That's what my buddy goes, "You might have swallowed some." I don't remember. I guess I did, and I just didn't realize it, and that's why I got all dizzy. But these guys are getting all dizzy and then going up and down on that ride in a circle. They were like, "Oh!" Then they all just started spitting it out and throwing it. Next thing you know, they're just like, Ham was the best one, because he's like, "Yeah, having a good time," but then he's going, "Bleh." And then he just leans over the side, and then all of them start throwing up. And the ride is still going. People that are on the outside of the ride just throw up, hitting their feet. People that were on the ride are getting throw up all over them, and all this going on to that song Tequila. Shout out to Pee Wee, rest in peace. But when they get off, they got throw up all over them, and they're all holding their stomachs, going and one of the girls ran off the ride screaming with throw up all over her, and then Ham gets off and then burps hella big, like, "Oh, better." And then next thing you know, they playing ball again. But that scene was hilarious. I mean, I've never been sick on a ride, knock on wood, but I guess swallowing some of that and then going in a circle and going up and down will make you throw up. But if you're listening to this and you listen this far and you have not seen that scene, just look it up on YouTube. It's hilarious. That's probably one of my favorite scenes as well, because like I said, I just laughed my ass off with this. So the next day, they're playing ball. They get a ball. And this is when I might have jumped ahead. I'm sorry. They were introduced to Wendy Peppercorn, because I remember Squints and it was the other little guy. I think it was Tommy. They went to go get a new ball. So I think they were getting a ball or they were getting something, because I remember they came out of that little dime store, and then she was walking down the street and kind of looked at him and then smiled, and Squints was all in love with her. I think I jumped ahead. But I remember there was one day it was like super hot for them. And I remember going to practice. It was hot for us back then in the Bay Area in Oakland, which is probably nothing, probably like 70 degrees and we were burning up. But not like where I live now, when we're like in the 90s, close to the hundreds. I mean, we haven't hit the hundreds yet. Hope we don't this summer. But they were just wherever they're in San Fernando or San Bernardino, where they were at. Oh, San Fernando Valley. That's in the valley down in Southern California, and it's hot. I remember I've been there before during the summer, and it was, I'm sure they were burning up because they were all sitting there sweating, and then they're like, it's too hot to play. And then, well, what are we going to do? And then they all get all excited and they go, the pool, honey. So they all go to the pool, local pool. And Wendy Peppercorn is the lifeguard. This part was funny because Ham's walking over there, checking out all the girls going, hey, yeah, sexy. And then he flexes and a cannonball jumps in there, and they're all splashing around having a good time. And Squints is just watching Wendy, and he's just going off, and he goes, I can't take it no more. Because she goes, he was always watching her like she was just putting suntan lotion, and he was just all fired up. So he goes over to the deep end, climbs up on the diving board, and then just jumps in the water and sinks to the bottom. And everyone's like, ah, they all start screaming. And she dives in and gets him and then brings him up. And he's laying there on his back and with his eyes closed. And they go, wow, man. They go, he looks dead. He looks like a dead fish. And then so she's leaning down and she's about to give him mouth to mouth. But they're looking down at Squints, and he like opens his eyes and smiles. And then he closes it, and then she's starting to do mouth to mouth, and he like put palms the back of her head and starts kissing her, and then she grabs him and kicks him out of the pool. All of them get kicked out, because once they're all kicked out on the other side of the fence, whoever's got their clothes throws it all at him, and they're all just laughing and everything. But I did like this part, because Squints goes over to the fence. And he's looking over at Wendy, and she's looking at him, and then she kind of smiles and waves, and then he waves at her and then runs off. So. Back to the field. They're playing. Benny hits the ball. I think it was Benny hit the ball. He roped the ball. He hit it so hard that it like tore the skin, the leather off. I'm holding my little Rawlings official Major League Baseball. Shout out to my girl Tark. She got me. I can't remember who signed this ball, but I have it sitting here on my desk. Well, I actually got a few signed baseballs right here. I couldn't tell you who all signed them. I can't remember. I can't read these autographs, but he roped the ball so hard that it just fell out of its skin, out of the leather. So they're all amazed by it. And they're like, well, we can't play. So what are we going to do? We don't have a ball. And then Small's like, you know what? I'll go get a ball. Earlier in the film, Smalls was in his stepdad's study, and he was looking at his little baseball memorabilia. Excuse me. And he had a baseball signed by Babe Ruth on his shelf. Smalls didn't know who it was. He just saw it as a baseball. So he ran home and got that He kind of snuck in, saw it, and grabbed it. Came running back to the field. I got a ball. So everyone was like, yeah, all right, cool. Then they're like, all right, man, your ball, your ups. So Smalls is ups, and he just ropes the ball. And just first home run, just ropes it, and all the way over the fence to where the beast is. And everyone's like, oh, cool, yeah, he's happy. I mean, everyone's excited. Oh, man, cool, right on. But then Smalls is like, oh, shit. He runs over there, and he's like, oh, no. And they're like, what? And he goes, that wasn't my ball. And they're like, it's all right, man. Just shocked that he hit a home run. And he's like, no, you don't understand. And he goes, that wasn't my ball. And they're like, well, whose is it? Said it was the stepdad's. And they go, well, what's so special about it? And that's not what they're saying. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. But anyway, he's like, he goes, it was signed. It was my stepdad's, and it was signed by somebody, some lady. And they're like, lady, what? And he goes, Ruth, baby Ruth. And they all went, Babe Ruth. And they all go, I'll kind of go running over to the fence to see where it is. They could see the ball, but they clearly can't go get it because the beast is over there. And then they're like, he goes, you mean to tell me you took a ball signed by Babe Ruth and actually played with it? And they're like, and he goes, yeah. And he goes, you keep saying that. Who is she? And then they go, what? And he goes, Babe Ruth. And they go, the Sultan of SWAT and all these other, the King of Crash. And then Ham goes, the Great Bambino. And he's like, oh, my God, that's the same guy. And he goes, yeah. And they go, some say he's more than a man or whatever. And he's about to pass out. And they're like, well, fuck, man, what are we going to do? And they don't say that word. But Benny kind of gets an idea of, you know what, we all just go round us some cans. We need to buy a ball. So they go get a ball, and then they sign Babe Ruth on it. And then they go, here, just put this in there. So your mom doesn't say anything, because his stepdad went off on a business trip. They said, just set it in there. She'll never know. Excuse me. Taking a drink. This episode is sponsored by Rockstar. Anyway, they get the ball. They set it in there, and his mom goes, oh yeah. He goes, that ball signed by Babe Ruth. And he's like, oh, okay. So the rest of the movie is them trying to get the ball. They come up with some crazy ideas. They build all kinds of crazy things. At one point, they have a pulley system, and they put Yeah Yeah over it. He basically had it in his hand. He could have easily threw it over the fence, but he just gets scared by the beast because the beast is right in front of me. The thing that I liked about this movie, I liked a lot of stuff about this movie, but with the beast, they made him seem like he was this big beast of a dog, and it was a total fake dog, big giant paws. And when Yeah Yeah was there and he was face to face with the beast, it was like this big giant stuffed little, I don't know if it was animatronic, maybe it was a puppet or something, and they were using it. But they were like, oh, he went and he had the ball in his hand, he just dropped it, and they pulled him back over. And he was all scared. They built this thing, was like a suction with a bunch of vacuum tubes, and they vacuum sucked the ball. And as they were trying to get it up, the beast grabbed it and tore it apart and everything. So they were just like, well, fuck, what are we going to do? Benny kind of goes home later at night, and then he has a dream. And Babe Ruth comes to visit him and basically tells him his whole little spiel. I don't exactly remember what he said, but basically, yeah, you gotta go over and get the ball, is what he told him. So the next day, Benny goes and he breaks out his brand new shoes. I don't know if they were Chuck Taylors. I can't remember. And he goes over there and he jumps over the fence, gets the ball, and then just tries to run and jump. He jumps over the fence, and then the beast runs and just knocks the fence down. And it's this big, I don't know what kind of dog it is. It is a big dog. But he goes running after him and just chases Benny like all over town. And then he finally comes running back to the sandlot, and he runs and jumps over that fence. No, don't he? The fence, did the fence come down? No, I don't think the fence came down, because I remember when they tried to, he jumped back over the fence and the beast came, and when he tried to jump over the, I think the fence came down on top of him, and then they all lifted up the fence and got the dog out. So, somebody came out, and it was James Earl Jones's character. What was his name? I'm sorry. He was Mr. Myrtle, and he was blind. So I was like, "What are you guys doing out here?" And he goes, "Have my dog." And he goes, "It did." I can't remember what the dog he called. The dog had a name. I can't remember his name, but he kind of came out and told him. Well, did he? They were like, "Yeah, our ball came over the fence, and well, we were just trying to get it." And he goes, "Why don't you just come to the front door and ask? I would have got it for you." And they all start, they look at Squints, and they all start hitting them with their balls, and or the balls, sorry. Not that type of movie. Start hitting them with their hats and their gloves, and he's like, "Man, I didn't know." So he kind of invites them in, and he was telling them, he goes, "Yeah, we need with that ball." He goes, he's telling them, "Yeah, that ball was signed by Babe Ruth." And he's like, "Oh," he goes, "this was signed by George?" And he goes, like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, man." And then he kind of goes, "Hey, well, come inside." He comes in, and they start looking at other things. And he was asking him, he goes, "Yeah," because he goes, "Well, can I keep this ball?" And they're like, "No, that is really signed by Babe Ruth." And he goes, "Well, here, so is this." And he pulls out another ball, and it's signed, like, by the whole I don't remember what year they say what year it was, but what to say? He kind of trades and chewed up a ball for a 1927 New York Yankees ball. So it's 1927 baseball signed by the 1927 Yankees. And he goes, "No," he goes, "here, I'll give you this one if you let me have that one." And he goes, basically, "Look, man, you got to come over and hang out and this and that. And as long as you come over and we talk about baseball all the time." So they're kind of like, "All right, cool." But he does tell them, he asks them there, he tells them what happened to him, why he turned blind. I guess he got hit in the head with a fast pitch, and just boom, just, he said the lights went out, and there was wherever he got hit, it just couldn't see anymore. So they were kind of like, "All right, cool." So they were all friends, and they're back out there playing ball again. And then the beast is out there with them. He was their mascot, and they were having a good time. And then they said that they all, as they got older, they all kind of just started going off and doing things, other things. One of them was started mini malls. The other one was, sports commentator. No, Smalls was a sports commentator, and Benny ended up playing for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Ham, he became a professional wrestler, and he was known as the Great Hambino. De Nunes, they said he played AAA baseball, and he's the coach of his son's little league team, the Heaters. The Heater is what that was one of his pitches that he had. So it was cool. It said they all kind of stayed friends for a little while, but I think Smalls and Benny were the ones that really stayed closer, because Smalls was a sports commentator for the Dodgers. And they show them an older Smalls and older Benny at the end of the film. But it was cool. They had this cool, when the movie was over, they had this cool picture of all of them. He had the ball, he had the picture of him and his friend, and even that dumb little hat that he wore. It's a cool movie. It's a cool summertime movie, and just like I said, a coming of age. And I kind of just jumped all over this movie. I mean, if you guys have seen, you've seen this film, but I kind of hit the highlights of it all. But it's awesome. There's a lot of comedy in it, a lot of heartfelt stuff in it, and it's a good movie. I mean, even if you're not a baseball fan, I mean, you just like these I wouldn't show this to little kids because there's some choice words in it, but it's more for the, I don't know, maybe 11, 12 year old and on up. But it is a good movie. If you have, if you're older and you have not seen this film, it's an amazing film. Definitely check it out. I love it. Let me see. Again, I didn't see this in the theater. I saw it in the VHS days. The budget was $7 million. Damn. It boxed office $34.3 million. So it went way, made way over its budget. So good. I didn't know that. So this is a 20th Century Fox film. Excuse me. But yeah, this film is awesome. Definitely check it out. Yeah, it says right here, it's the 1993 American coming of age sports comedy film. Yeah, definitely. But I love The Sandlot. It is an awesome film. What does the poster say? They were more than a team. They were best buddies in the entire history of the world. I like this poster. That's the bigger, all the kids holding the bat. And on the very top hand is the paw of the beast. I can't remember what he, I think his dog's name was Hercules or something like that. I can't remember. But this movie's awesome. Definitely check it out if you guys haven't seen it. Not sure if it's streaming anywhere. I have the Blu-ray, but it was streaming all over the place for a long time. Let me just check really quick. The Sandlot. Oops, that's The Sandman. If you have Stars, it's streaming on there. So definitely check it out. Or you can rent it wherever you rent movies these days. I mean, these young kids, man, they popped up in a lot of things. The guy that played Smalls, Tom Gurry, I think that's his name. He popped up in a few films. I remember he was in that one movie, Mystic River. If you haven't seen that, oh, that was an amazing film. Patrick Renna, he popped up in some other films. He's got a podcast. Definitely check that out. Brandon Quinton, the Nunez. You guys, he was Fool in People Under the Stairs, but he made People Under the Stairs before this. The other guys, I haven't really seen them in other things. I know Squints, he was in another movie. I can't remember. Oh, Graham Greene was in it. I can't remember the name of it. Of course, Dennis Leary, we know he's still doing his thing. Karen Allen, she was just in the new, the latest Indiana Jones. James Earl Jones, of course, all over the place, all over Broadway, TV, movies. Awesome that he came back to voice Darth Vader in Obi-Wan as well as Rogue One. Marilyn Shelton, Wendy Peppercorn, she popped up in a lot of things. I liked her in Death Proof, if you guys have seen that movie. And no, not Death Proof. No, she wasn't Death Proof for like a second. Planet Terror, she was in that. Plus, I liked her in Bubble Boy and a bunch of other movies she had done. But all right, everyone, that is going to be it this episode. So we're winding down. Summer, give you a few more episodes, maybe two, maybe three. I don't know. It depends. Who knows? Maybe there might just be one more in this series, but definitely come back for more. So until next time, everyone, please be safe out there. Yeah. And come back next time. So until then, party on.
Remember, kid, there's heroes and there's legends. Heroes get remembered, but legends never die. Follow your heart, kid. You never go wrong.